This is St. Louis Public Radio. The Standing Rock Sioux Tribe protest against the Dakota Access Pipeline in North Dakota is still going strong, even after it receives some good news. The Army Corps of Engineers has blocked pipeline construction underneath the Missouri River. Several St. Louis activists and advocates have voiced their support for the protest and even volunteered at the camp. And some say their experiences were a little close to home.
Dominique Anika-Nika is a nursing student at UMSL. She was moved to join the pipeline protesters in North Dakota after volunteering as a street medic during Ferguson protests.
Having participated and witnessed how powerful Black resistance has been here in St. Louis, like being an ally for that, playing a supportive role in that as best I could, has really shown me how important it is to support movements as they're happening.
Her indigenous family in Chile works to occupy land to prevent corporations from logging sacred forests. This familial commitment to indigenous rights spurred her support of the Black Lives Matter protests and the Standing Rock Sioux.
It was definitely a call that felt like a dutiful obligation to be up there. And I just happened to have skills and knowledge from being a part of the resistance here in St. Louis to bring up with me.
And Anika-Nika's not alone. She and other St. Louisans continue to show their support for the Standing Rock protests, despite the recent announcement that continued pipeline construction has been momentarily denied by the government. Over the past year, there have been protests in downtown St. Louis, water protection ceremonies, art builds, and more. Kathy Dickerson is a member of the Kiowa tribe of Oklahoma. She's lived in St. Louis her whole life and frequently advocates for Native American rights under the Indian Arts and Crafts Act. Recently, she's turned her support to the pipeline protesters in North Dakota because, Dickerson says, sacred sites, sovereignty, and clean water must be protected.
It's about our water. It's for everybody. And American Indians just took the stand first. And we're asking for help from other people because this is your drinking water.
Her brother, Michael Tonkima, is at Standing Rock and has no intention of leaving. Regular cell phone reception is bad at the camp, but they're sometimes able to communicate through Facebook Messenger calls.
Okay.
So that's how we got a hold of him.
Can you talk a little bit louder?
Yes, I can.
Okay.
He says he left his Texas home to live in frigid temperatures because of a duty to protect sovereign sacred land.
Because I'm a spiritual being, and I believe in the connection of, the water. I believe in the connection of what's right. I'm not just praying for me. I'm praying for you, too. I'm praying for your water. I'm praying for your family's water.
Both Dickerson and her brother addressed similarities between Ferguson and Standing Rock. They note some protesters have relied on live streaming to keep people informed of their experience. And police tactics, including the use of tear gas and rubber bullets at Standing Rock, look a lot like police response to Ferguson protests. Dickerson says she's not surprised by these overlaps. Struggles in Ferguson and Standing Rock may seem hyper-local, but like the effects of police brutality, water protection and pollution can affect the whole society.
Hopefully, we could stop this all over the United States. We can, our generation now that is standing with Standing Rock, we have to figure this out. It's something that everybody needs. It's not just an American Indian issue.
And it's that feeling that keeps people dedicated to supporting the protest even after the construction was halted. Some St. Louisans are already preparing to bring up supplies and contribute skills to the camps this winter. I'm Willis Ryder Arnold, St. Louis Public Radio.